Sermon on the Mount. What's it all about, church? True righteousness. True righteousness. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. What's it all about? What is King Jesus trying to teach us? What is King Jesus trying to show us will fulfill our lives, will change our world, and will please God? What is it, church? It is true righteousness. You say, preacher, how do you know that true righteousness will fulfill your life? Well, you just go back to where the Sermon on the Mount started. And you know how Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount? He started with blessed, 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 blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? True righteousness will fulfill your life. How do you know that true righteousness will change this world? Because Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the world. And I'm going to tell you, wherever there is light, wherever there is salt, it makes a difference. True righteousness will change this world. In the section that we're currently in, true righteousness and how it pleases God. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, we're calling it the King's Constitution. King Jesus laying out for we, his citizens, what his expectations are for true righteousness. Important to note that Jesus had not come to destroy the law, the Bible says, Matthew 5, 17, but to fulfill it. The problem was that the law had been taught as a series of rules. And this was wrong. You see, true righteousness that pleases God is not found in submitting to rules, but in surrendering our hearts. It is not found in you and I trying our hardest, but by allowing God to transform our hearts. And so Jesus has been teaching us, again, the heart of the matter. A number of times we see the distinction, ye have heard that it has been said, and Jesus talked about anger. And then he talked about the heart of the matter when it came to anger. He said, you've heard that it has been said when it comes to reconciliation with a brother. But Jesus said, let me get to the heart of the matter on reconciliation. He covered the idea of morality. Ye have heard that it has been said about lust and morality. But Jesus said, let's get to the heart of the matter on morality. Last week we talked about marriage. And Jesus has been getting to the heart of the matter on what true righteousness really is and what true righteousness looks like in our lives. Now today, Jesus is going to teach us something that this world desperately needs to remember. The truth matters. The truth is important. Truth matters. You could say it this way, truth is foundational for any society, for without it, nothing works right. You look over at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14, the prophet put it this way, he said, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. This whole mess where there is no judgment, and there is no justice, and there is no equity, stems from the fact that truth is fallen. You say, what happens when there is no truth in a society? And I would invite you, look around. Truth matters. And so tonight, we're going to examine Jesus' teaching that true righteousness, hear me, demands the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want you to see where Jesus starts this. Look in verse number 33 with me. Jesus says this, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Here Jesus again begins to dissect and to help the people understand that what they had been taught wasn't right. Okay? So we can title it this, if you would, Roman numeral 1, don't be deceived. You know, there's a lot of confusion in this world, is there not? When you look at this section of Scripture, just to give you a little background, because I think it'll help, this section references back to abuses that were being made in regard to the fourth commandment, not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and the ninth commandment, which was don't bear false witness. When it says here, by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, the word forswear means to perjure, to swear falsely, to lie, to make up a story before you actually have the question. And what had happened over time is the scribes and Pharisees had developed this really intricate system for when it was important to tell the truth and when you had a little bit of leeway, what oaths you would take that were binding versus what oaths you would take that were really not so binding. And to give you kind of a couple of illustrations, the Pharisees said, well, if you swear by the temple, it's not really binding. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, now that's binding. If you swear by the altar that's in the temple complex, that's not really binding. But if you swear by the gift that's on the altar, that is binding. You say, you know what? That doesn't make any sense. Right? I mean, come on. My answer to that is exactly. It doesn't make any sense. They had developed this system. In fact, within this system, they had three tiers of truth and three tiers of falsehood. And they had developed this whole spectrum to determine when it was okay to break an oath, when it was okay to forswear, to be untrue, and when it was important to be true. Fast forward to today. Never have I seen a day in which the truth is under so much attack as the day in which we live. Words like alternative facts and fake news are a regular part of our daily vocabulary, it seems. You say, preacher, don't be political. Talking about fake news is political. Look, some of it's fake news because they can't all be telling the truth. I mean, come on now. They can't all be telling the truth. Somebody's not getting it right. And truth is under attack. You know, we live in the day of mangled statistics. We live in the days of lies and manipulations. We live in the days where the end justify the means. And one hardly doesn't know what to believe. And one doesn't hardly know who is telling the truth anymore. Truth has fallen in the streets in America today. A couple of recent polls found some startling statistics. One poll, for instance, found that 91% of the people polled admitted to lying regularly. 68% said it was okay to lie. 21% admitted to lying every day. In a recent 60 Minutes poll, they found in their polling that only 56% of Americans thought it was important for you to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you, there is confusion in this world. But don't be deceived. Because truth matters. Truth matters. There very well may be a great deal of confusion in this world, but I promise you there is a great deal of clarity in God's Word. God's Word is clear. The truth matters. Amen? It's not up for debate. The truth matters. The truth matters to God. And when you study Scripture, you know what you find? You find that it matters so much to God that God chooses truth as a trait by which He reveals Himself to us. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 31 in verse 5. The Bible says this, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." So God is a God of truth, is the God of truth. God the Father is the God of truth. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6? What did He say? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So not only is God the Father the God of truth, God the Son is the God of truth. Well, would you look with me then at John chapter 14, a few verses later, verse 17, the Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth." So God the Father is the God of truth, and God the Son is the God of truth, and God the Holy Spirit is the God of truth. The Trinity, the Godhead, is the God of truth. But I want you to see it doesn't stop there. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, "In whom ye also trusted, speaking of the God of truth, after that ye heard the word of truth." So we have a God of truth, and we have a word of truth. And of all the things he could have chosen to reveal himself to us as, he chose to reveal himself to us as the truth. Don't be deceived. God is the God of truth, and don't be deceived. He expects those who bear his name to be a people of truth as well. It's not confusing. It's not real blurry. Oh, you watch the 24/7 news cycle, it might get a little confusing. You spend a lot of time scrolling on that feed. I'm going to tell you, that feed will eat up all your joy. It might get a little blurry. You listen to the pundits on talk radio, and it might get a little blurry. You spend enough time talking to people, because people don't know what they're talking about either. But when you stop and you step back, don't be deceived. God is the God of truth. The Word is the Word of truth. And God expects truthfulness and trustworthiness to be a fundamental trait of his people. Don't be deceived. Truth matters. But I want you to see how Jesus continues. Pick up in verse 34, if you would. Jesus says this, "But I say unto you, swear not at all," meaning an oath or a promise. He said, "Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." Not only does Jesus want us, number one, not to be deceived, number two, he doesn't want us to be deceptive. Don't be deceived, and then don't be deceptive. Couple of kind of descriptions, if you will. You maybe think of deceptiveness as suppressing the truth. Deceitfulness, perhaps, as spreading an untruth. But what Jesus is doing here is he is rebuking that whole system of deceptive wordplay, that whole system of deceptive semantics, where they said this is binding and this is not binding and this is okay and this is tier two and this is, Jesus said, garbage. Don't be deceptive. It really is that simple. You know, we think that word games leave us, before we're too hard on the scribes and Pharisees, let's stop and recognize that we play word games too, that leave us a lot of wiggle room, we think. Can I give you some examples? What we think about little white lies. Where, you know, we justify it, where we're just trying to spare their feelings. Oh, thank you so much for inviting me over to your house. We're going to do our best to try to come. You liar. You have no intention of going, and you know it. That's a lie. That's a lie. Can I give you another one? Facades. Fronts that we put up for other people. Brother Dan preached about a week and a half ago on hypocrisy. Wearing the mask, if you would. That is an untruth. That is deceptive. It's a lie. Ooh, this is a good one. Ignoring facts. You know, this is when maybe we disregard problems or it's not my fault, so, you know, you're at the store and maybe they give you too much change back when they used to give out change. I'm telling you what it was is they heard the missions conference was coming up and they know what's happened the last 3 or 4 years, so they declared a national coin shortage 4 months in advance. That's my theory and I'm sticking to it. But hey, that's not my fault. What a blessing God's given me. No, you liar, go give it back. Omissions. We'll pick on the boys and girls for a minute. You know, when mom's vase gets broken, and you say, well, we accidentally broke the vase, but you leave out the fact that you were playing with the ball while you were doing it, and you know that's not allowed. Remember, deceptiveness is to suppress the truth. Deceitfulness is to spread the untruth. I'm going to tell you, any combination by which you put forth to put forth something that is not the truth is not right. Ooh, exaggerations. That's another word game we play. Hey, mom and dads, can we pick on the students for a little while? I read my assignment. Red. When you define red as like skimmed, you know you didn't read it. That's an untruth. Oh, sure I read it. Exaggerations. I'm going to tell you, this is probably the most dangerous one of all, delusions. I don't have a problem with ... when you lie to yourself. Delusions. So before we're too hard on the Pharisees about the temple versus the gold and the altar versus the gift and tears of truth, let's recognize that even within our church and even within our Christian circles that we play a lot of games with words that either suppresses the truth or spreads untruth for our seeming advantage. But in all of these semantics, in all of this wordplay, you know what Jesus does? He reminds us of his divine sovereignty. He says, you know why it doesn't matter if you swear on the temple or you swear on the city or you swear on your own head? He said, bottom line, don't do it because none of it belongs to you anyways. He said, you can't even make one of your hairs white or black. You know what Jesus is pointing out? He's pointing out this. He said, your reasoning may make you feel better. Your reasoning may work with you, but it doesn't work with God. You see, all of the justifications and all of the hoops that you jump through, here referencing back to the Pharisees and all of the different tiers and things, he said, you can try the temple and you can try the city and you can try to swear by your own head, but it all belongs to God, and you can't get around the fact that God, Jehovah God, he owns it all, he knows it all, and he will judge it all. The bottom line is, when it comes to the truth, if we do anything to be deceptive, we don't have a leg to stand on. We cannot get around our accountability to God for the things that we say and do. Jesus went so far as to put it this way in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36. He said this, he said, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That verse terrifies me personally, but you can't get around it. And so what is Jesus teaching? He's teaching, don't be deceived. The truth matters. He's teaching, look, don't be deceptive. It's not hard. There's not tears. Don't be deceptive. Why? Because the truth matters. I want you to look at how he finishes out this section here, verse number 37. He says this. He says, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So Jesus says, number one, don't be deceived. Why, church? Because the truth matters. Come on, church. He says, don't be deceived because the truth matters. He tells us, secondly, don't be deceptive. Look, there are going to be a lot of situations where you want to exaggerate, a lot of situations where you kind of want to do the little white lie, where you want to put up the facade, where you want to ignore the facts, where you want to leave things out. There are going to be a lot of situations where you and I want to lie to ourselves, but we can't do it. Don't be deceptive. Why? Because the truth matters. Jesus sums it up all with this last verse where he teaches us simply this. Don't be deceptive. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceptive. Do be dependable. Do be dependable. Why? Because the
truth matters.
The truth matters. Let me pause here to say this. God isn't saying, don't swear. When we say swear, we're not talking curse words. We're meaning like oaths or promises. You look at the Bible, God swore promises. Paul swore promises. In the book of Revelation, John was told to swear by him that liveth forever and ever. So John was told by the heavenly court to swear by God. And so there may be some instances where we do need to swear, or make an oath, or make a promise. A couple of years ago, I was the foreman of the grand jury for Sandusky County. So the whole summer, every other Friday for 4 months, I got to go and hear a lot of not so nice things. But I remember one of my great privileges as the foreman of the grand jury was every person that entered that courtroom, every officer, every witness, everybody, I got to stand and say, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about to give in this cause will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And in a court of law, it is appropriate to give an oath and tell the truth. And so God isn't saying that there's never an instance where we shouldn't give an oath or give a promise, if you will. What God is teaching us is to be serious in what you say, because what you say matters. Christians should be clear and credible, period. Christians, when they speak, whether in the business world, you should be clear and credible, period. Students, when you're in school and your teacher talks to you and asks you questions and you're learning, when you're taking tests, you know what you should be? You should be clear and credible. When you tell your teacher something, they need to believe that you're telling the truth. Children to parents. Spouses to one another. As Christians, in every interaction we have, we should be clear and we should be credible. Period. The Bible is very clear that we should not speak flippantly, and that as believers, our word should be our bond in big and small things. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say this in Psalm 15 and verse number 4. Look at this. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Look at a characteristic of somebody who fears the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and does what? Changes. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now I'm extended for. But you know, a mark of somebody who fears God is somebody who keeps his word even to his own hurt. And can I broaden it a little bit for us today as we talk about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that God desires honesty in all areas of life. We need to be honest with our lips. Amen? The Bible says this, Proverbs 12, verse 22, it says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. What are lying lips? They are abomination. God hates them desperately. We should be honest with our lips. But it goes beyond that. We should be honest with our life. You know what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12? He said, having your conversation, that word conversation, it can mean our verbal exchanges, but that word conversation in the Bible is broader than that. It means our lifestyle. It means our way of living. The Bible says, having your lifestyle, what's the next word? Honest. Among the Gentiles. You should be honest with your lips. You should be honest with your life. And we need to be honest with our Lord. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says this, if we say we have no sin, we what? And the truth is not in us. Verse number 10, it says this, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Christians, we need to be a people marked by truthfulness and trustworthiness with our lips, with our lives, and with our Lord. Just tell the truth. Just be truthful and trustworthy. Just tell the truth. Husbands, with your wives. Just tell the truth. Wives, with your husbands, just tell the truth. Children, with your parents, just tell the truth. Be truthful and trustworthy. But what if I'm going to get in trouble? Well, you're going to get in more trouble for lying. So just tell the truth. Employees, with your bosses, just tell the truth. Bosses, with your employees, just tell the truth. Students, with your teachers, just tell the truth. When it comes tax time next year, Christians, just tell the truth. When the policeman pulls you over and says, "Sir, did you know how fast you were going?" Just, I was a little bit weaker. When you did it, just tell the truth. When you didn't do it, just tell the truth. When you can't go, just tell the truth. Hey, it's really not hard. Not hard to understand. Don't be deceived, because the truth matters. Don't be deceptive, because the truth matters. Do be dependable, because the truth matters. The Bible is so clear. Liars will not succeed in their craft, but the truth is established forever. Proverbs 12 and verse number 19 says this. It says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." All across America, truth has fallen. Inequity cannot enter. And if there ought to be one institution in this world, if it's not the government, and it's not the news media, and it's not the housing, the homeowners association, and it's not my neighbors, and it's not my boss, and it's not my school, there is one institution that ought to be known for trustworthiness and truthfulness, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ. If we want to have a life blessed by God, if we want to know this true righteousness that pleases God, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It challenges my spirit tonight. It challenges the way that I'm sometimes loose or flippant with my words. But I'm thankful tonight that when Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost, that he kept his word. I'm thankful when Jesus said that he's going to be betrayed into the Son of Man's hands and that he was going to be crucified. I'm thankful that though he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, I'm so thankful that he kept his word. And I'm so thankful that after 3 days in that borrowed tomb, he got back up again. Amen. He told the truth.